So the next item on our agenda is state board business. So as everyone knows, our work is centered around our vision, mission, and guiding principles. It is on, I don't know if Jenna's going to put it up on the screen or not, but it is something that's been included in on our e-board site. So just as a reminder, as we go through our committee and meeting reports, thinking about the work that we do in between meetings in order to further those. There were reports that were compiled, they were posted on eBoard. I will say I have done a couple of things this week in terms of, we had P20 on Monday with Secretary Holodeck. There were several items on that. I apologize that my committee report is not in here. He may be talking to it too in terms of one of the things that he did. But teacher recruitment and retention, that subcommittee is, we're just taking a pause on that. Because that was something that we initiated in the fall, just as there was the transition between secretaries, and we want to make sure that we're moving that forward. Clearly a priority from, I think, a number of different stakeholders. So, but we're just taking a pause before we kind of move that forward, but more to come on that. Talking about more data collaboration and involving stakeholders from different organizations at P20, actually really exciting, and more to come kind of as we kind of get that off the ground. And I'm trying to think, I'm sorry, I apologize, in terms of some of the other things that we were talking about, updates on the literacy recommendations that came out of that subcommittee about a year and a half ago. That Dr. Noble and Wally participated in. So again, really good dialogue from everyone that's on that committee. Oh, and some updates as well as some of the legislation that came out of last year with respect to Inspire, the SEED program, and FAST. So just some update from those organizations. And then listening to the public hearings, as well as, I know I saw several other board members on there as well. Are there any comments or questions from any of the written reports that were provided? I know that we saw a couple of those.
I'd just like to say one thing. I would like to encourage you to look at the part of the report that I submitted about the NASB Government Affairs Committee meeting. I think of particular interest that we talked about the House Competes Act that's probably going to be voted on pretty soon in this session. What was interesting about that, and I think is of particular interest to our priorities, is that this particular act is a reauthorization of funding for programs like STEM and NSF funding. And this particular act, this time around, now includes the National Apprenticeship Act of the Department of Labor. So it's been combined into one act. It used to be two separate things. And so in that act, what they're doing is they're including funding for new apprenticeships in teaching and in early childhood education to help address the teacher recruitment and retention issues through what they call Earn As You Learn programs. So I followed up with Luke Ryan about that. And after we were planning to, you know, participate in that, he said that in the past, Delaware had previously had registered ECE, early childhood education apprenticeships, but we no longer do that. And he referred me to some information about a program in Tennessee that I've cited in my memo. I followed up with Kim from the Office of Early Learning, and she and I are going to talk this week about thinking about how this model of apprenticeship, if we could pilot something, using money to not only provide scholarships so early childhood educators can get degrees, but also to help pay them better salaries while they're doing this. Because part of the P20 council meeting, there was conversation about compensation scale for early childhood educators. So I'm going to follow up on this and kind of see where this goes, but I thought this might be an opportunity to kind of blend some of the work coming out of the pathways work and the Department of Labor and some funding that's going to come in to kind of look at this issue of the salary problems that we have for early childhood educators. which I gave a conference speech on in 2008 at the University of Delaware about the problem with the underpayment of early childhood educators. And here we are again, about 15 years, 14 years later, we're still talking about. But anyway, I think this is an opportunity because there's money there. The Department of Labor has a model. And Kim and Luke were both on board about talking about this further. So I'll report back next time.
No, thank you actually for drawing our attention to that and reminding me, because I don't know how I didn't mention that on P20, is that we did have a panel on early childhood and a lot of dialogue around that. Compensation, clearly an issue. Anything else from board members before we move on to Jenna sharing the executive director report? Okay. Jenna, if you wanted to share some highlights from your report.
Sure. You have a copy of my full report. I will just go through a few quick highlights. The position for administrative secretary remains open. I actually talked with HR today, and we will be extending the deadline to next Thursday, February 24th. So I'd like to ask any board members who know anyone who may be a good fit for this position to please share it so we can hopefully bring somebody on board soon and help out with some of the state board tasks. I spent a lot of time in the last month supporting the P20 Council's prep for the P20 Council's work. We just did talk about that a bit. One thing that I just want to share, my own kind of takeaways from that, is we also talked about the expansion of SEED and INSPIRE and sort of programs available via the Department of Labor. And I think it would be really helpful if we could think about how to utilize those resources to support our teacher pipeline. So we're really kind of intentionally connect those with the teacher academy programs and make it so that it's affordable for our students to go on to our higher ed institutions and hopefully continue to teach in Delaware. So we've talked about them sort of separately, but I think it's important for us to be talking about those together too. A number of questions from the board around charter schools and you know, what you consider in the approval process, which we talked about at length tonight. So just want to encourage you to keep asking those questions. And yeah, I'm happy to do any additional research or further digging on anything that can be helpful to you. I attended the Delaware Research Alliance meeting, which is a partnership between the department, the University of Delaware, and Delaware State University to better connect the data that the department has available with researchers at those institutions who are interested in doing some further research on these topics. So they have a couple of projects underway related to career pathways and school administrators, but they are looking for additional project topics that can be actually submitted just through their website. So I wanted to bring this up to the board. We've talked a lot about utilizing data and research, and this could potentially be a good opportunity to focus in on a specific topic or project that you would like to work on and work with researchers at the university to sort of carry that research forward. So I will do some thinking on what projects might make sense, but I also wanted to encourage board members, if you had things that you are interested in, that we could potentially work on that together. Lastly, I just want to share that in the budget that we approved in July, we allocated some money for research. 2 years ago, we used that for a public policy fellow at UD. Last year, we used that to support our West Ed research support on early literacy. This year, we are recommending that we move forward with a public policy fellow, again, especially in light of not having someone in this, the administrative secretary position, somebody that can just help support some additional research that would be helpful to board members. So we are looking at bringing on a graduate student. She would work with us from March until June. So currently going through the process, the contract process for that now, and hope to bring her on soon. So I just wanted to give the board an update on that. We did already allocate those funds via approval of the budget back in July, but just wanted to make sure that we had an update on our path forward. Any questions on those or anything else in my report?
Jenna, I just want to say thank you for working with me on asking and answering questions around professional development. I think when I look at it, I look at it zooming out from a system lens, there's a lot of interesting pieces to pull together and synthesize. And then I think it's helpful to look at this from an equity lens. So it ties into some of our other work. So thanks for just working with me on some of that, and I'll continue to be a partner with you on that.
Absolutely. And I was actually thinking, as we talked about the Delaware Research Alliance, you know, if there's opportunity for us to kind of match that data and pursue something like that. So, thank you.
Any other further questions? Okay, then the next on the agenda is the NASB Early Literacy Grant.
So we were presented with the opportunity to apply to NASB for a grant to support our early literacy priority. As you all know, in 2021, we commissioned the project with WestEd to analyze Delaware's licensure and certification structure related to early literacy. The report was released in August of 2021. The grant request is for $4,000 and will partially support the cost of our UD policy fellow that I just mentioned. So the goals of the grant will be to review Delaware's early literacy licensure and certification system and make updates to better support the student experience and explore opportunities to expand the scope and impact of professional development to support early literacy. Those are big goals. We will not solve them with the $4,000 grant, but I hope that it is a starting point. As we were talking with Dr. Bradshaw earlier about really kind of understanding the reading specialist regulation, understanding the implications of SB 133 that was passed last year that applies to reading specialists, but it also applies for elementary teacher, early childhood, special education, and some others. And so I really want to be kind of looking at the full landscape in relation to our certification structure. So hopefully bringing on this graduate student, she can help us kind of move down forward on some of the additional research and next steps that we know need to come out of the report to move forward those recommendations, and just see that as a great starting point for moving that work forward.
Any questions on the NASB Early Literacy Grant?
Yeah, I think what's, you know, also with the power of getting that grant from them is it also engages us in a lot of the conversations that NASB supports, where they bring in their own. This is part of our membership fees, but when we have a grant from them, then we'll be also part of this collaboration of work that's across the country related to early literacy. So, you know, I think this is a really good idea. It gives us some more support for agenda, but also supports our agenda. So I think taking this, and I don't have any doubt that we'll get the money. They've been after us for a few years now to take an early literacy grant. So I think we'll probably get this.
I agree. And I think we're in a good position, a better position now than when we previously had the conversations, because we do have the report and the recommendations coming out of that, which are a good place for us to start in terms of next steps.
Right. And the scope of work that's being proposed within the grant is work that the board can do itself. It's not reliant on the department or any other entity to participate. So.
Great. Okay. So we'll be more to come on that. The next item on the agenda is a legislative update and consideration. The summary of education-related bills that are currently proposed in legislation is available. Jenna puts together the Excel spreadsheet that was posted on eBoard. And just kind of for anyone that may be listening, in addition to board members, during legislative session, we're just going to have an item on the agenda just so that we can have an opportunity if board members have any questions or just discussions relating to anything that might potentially have an impact with respect to us. So I know, I think there was just one that was updated since the last time that we that she circulated the report, but are there anything, any questions that you might have that you'd want to put forward to the bill sponsor, or that we need to get additional information on? Okay, I'm going to take that silence for nothing at this time. And so the next item on the agenda is the secretary's report. Mark, Dr. Holodick, if you wanted to go ahead, and again, you provided the report to us ahead of time, but anything that you wanted to share with us?
Sure. Just a few things I would like to highlight. I've been in the position as secretary now for just over a month, and I've attended a lot of meetings. Let me repeat that. I've had a lot of meetings. And they have been incredibly helpful. To name just a few as an example, meet with the superintendents all 19 once a month prior to meeting with them the week before. I meet with their leadership liaison group, do the same thing with charter leads, and then all of our charter leaders. Delaware Association of School Principals has an executive group that I meet with monthly. I had the pleasure of meeting with our current and past teachers of the year, Ms. Turner being one of them, which was fantastic. And those kind of meetings lead to school visits and conversations. You know, I think about a class I joined at the University of Delaware one evening, a doctoral class. I met a student who works in the Indian River School District early childhood program down in Frankfort, and got an invite to see their facility last week, and spent, you know, more than a few hours actually there, which was fantastic, because I'm going to talk about early childhood in just a moment. But the point being, those conversations that you have in this position, it exposes you to the work that's being done, and the more you can do that outside of the office, the better, which is a challenge right now. You know, the one group that I've left out that I really haven't been able to engage with yet outside of a handful of school visits more recently are the kids themselves.
Yeah.
Because of where we are. Now, we made a pretty big announcement, the governor did, 2 Mondays ago, which is, you know, come the end of March, March 31st, will be the last day that the state will be requiring masks to be worn. We being the Department of Ed, DPH, and other, health experts, and led by the governor's office, always providing leadership around putting together guidance that supports our schools. So in the coming week or so, we would like to have guidance provided to our school districts, so local school boards, and working with their superintendents, can make decisions on what they're going to do at the local level come April 1st. It's guidance. We hope that it's relevant, valuable, and that our charter schools and traditional schools districts will rely on it. And I attended last week the Brandywine School District Board of Education meeting, as well as Red Clay's Monday and Wednesday nights respectively, and both, pleased to say, voted unanimously to move forward with conversations around the Wilmington Learning Collaborative. Now the heavy lifting really starts with the MOU process. We'll have our first conversation with the chiefs tomorrow. So really the process won't begin until, you know, the soonest, the formal process the following week. And the real question is, you know, who's at the table, right? Because we want to be as collaborative as possible, include the right folks, especially those who are in those buildings doing the work, right? So we'll have that conversation with the superintendents. And I'll answer any questions that you might have about the Wilmington Learning Collaborative. There were some things mentioned this evening in regard to high schools. So the focus of the Learning Collaborative in terms of current students is in elementary and middle schools in the city of Wilmington. With that said, what the governor and his team primarily being John Sheehan and Jim Simmons, who spent countless, you know, hours in meetings, meeting with stakeholders to gather information. And I was virtually listening in to a lot of those meetings, and there was a theme, which was, you know, we have high school issues also. And you know, there's fragmentation, if you would, and students who choice and charter laws were passed to help often, or at least the perception is, and perhaps it's a reality, that they don't have access for various reasons to all of the options that so many other students might have, right? So that kept coming up. I don't know where it will land exactly, because that should be a decision made by both the governance board and stakeholders who develop the plans. But we're thinking that there will be work done with current students, 7th and 8th graders, to ensure that we change the dynamic I just mentioned, so that whether that's a bridge program or summer programming or bringing more counselors from those high schools that would be options for those students directly into the schools. I think there are some things that we could do that's just roll up your sleeves, make sure these seventh and eighth graders are aware of their options along with their families. But perhaps long-term planning, creating a committee to really start discussing and sort of unpackaging what this landscape looks like and why. And we're hearing a lot of that from various stakeholders, you know, folks who are opposed to charter schools, people who support charter schools. At the end of the day, they're all of our kids, right? And so we want to make sure we're servicing and supporting them as best as possible. And then yesterday, I'll end with joint finance. All of those meetings helped prepare me. Well, I don't know if you can ever be prepared for joint finance. Great group of legislators who really do care deeply about education. I mean, it's obvious. And, you know, I've seen the Joint Finance Committee operate in the past. This current group of representatives and senators have a lot of knowledge about pre-K through 12, you know, grade levels and issues that are affecting the classroom. Very knowledgeable. And across the entire spectrum, you know, Wilmington schools with Reading Commission to, you know, foreign language to special education, early child care. I mean, it, you know, just a lot of knowledge in that group. And so they asked some really good questions. And I think the one, you know, area that really requires a lot of our attention in not just this year, but in the coming years is going to be early childhood. So you're probably aware we have a vacancy right now in, you know, the associate secretary position to oversee early childhood. That, you know, that position is posted and I think recently closed, and we'll be running interviews very soon. There are some other openings in early childhood, and there's some real heavy lifting to come. Lawsuit that was communicated in the News Journal, Delaware Online last week, that has implications. And, you know, Dr. Noble mentioned an issue that we've been talking about for decades now, not years, decades, is how do we compensate early childhood, you know, staff. And, so there are some ideas and ways in which we can go about it, but at the end of the day, you know, it requires dollars, right? And so how do you figure all of that out? So and this isn't exactly an area where I've spent a ton of time in my previous work, knowledgeable enough to be able to participate in the meetings, but I really need to just see more. So I'm trying to spend as much time as possible with providers and educators who are actually doing the work. Because that really, you know, when you're in a meeting, you hear things. It's much different after you've seen it, right? Yeah. In fact, I think Dr. Neville was getting to some of that earlier, right? Yeah. It's not always what it appears. You have to dig a little deeper.
Right.
So very interesting. I love that part of the job because it's continual growth and learning yourself. You think you know a lot about education until you start diving into very specific areas that in this case have been sort of our Achilles heel for some time. And my hope is we'll be able to make some progress in these areas. So that's my report for tonight, and I'm happy to answer any questions that state board members might have.
No, thank you for that. That was a really good report. Appreciate the information that you shared. Any questions or comments?
I'd just like to say I appreciate that your style in this meeting, that you participate, that you ask questions, that you're part of the board. I just appreciate that.
Sure.
It's refreshing and helpful to us, so thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? I'm really looking forward to hearing more on the dialogue around charter schools and sort of that broad framework. Clearly something that a lot of interest across the board on that. Okay, public comment. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for general public comment. Jenna, before I go, well, I'm going to read everything. Opportunity to sign up for public comment was also available via email prior to this meeting. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment and are logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the chat box now. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. Jenna, do we have anyone that has signed up for public comment?
No one has signed up.
Okay, great. Okay, so if we have no one signed up, is there a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
Brittingham, motion to adjourn.
No big second.
Any objections? It is 7:30. It's a question. Somebody might. It is 7:33 p.m. and the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for your questions and your dialogue.
Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you. And congratulations.
I surrender.